This is Jay Sekulow. The ACLJ uncovers Attorney General Lynch's secret alias.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
In response to a Freedom of Information application to both the FBI and the DOJ by the American Center for Law and Justice, requesting all documents regarding that meeting, the FBI responded with a terse, "No records responsive to your request were located." Folks, that was a calculated, knowing, and intentional lie.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The American Center for Law and Justice made Freedom of Information requests for, they've gotten hundreds of documents now. Now, what they point out is when they first made this request months ago, they were told under the last administration, they say essentially we have no records responsive to your request. And now they have hundreds of pages responsive to their request.
Yeah, they, initially that had to be a lie. You're required under law to respond to this Freedom of Information Act request within 20 days. To say there were no documents is an absolute fabrication.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, the hits keep on coming. If you're just now getting familiar with it, here's what's happened. We filed this lawsuit against the United States Department of Justice back on November 2nd, 2016, right before the election. And it was entitled American Center for Law and Justice versus the United States Department of Justice. And this was to get information regarding the meeting between President Clinton and Secretary Lynch right before Secretary Clinton was going to be interviewed. So this was between the Attorney General and the former president. We initially, as you know, sent a letter also to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. They responded with this letter that said, in fact, there's nothing responsive to your request. Well, we went to federal court, and of course, as you learned Friday, we received 420 pages from the United States Department of Justice, and lo and behold, it includes emails between, guess who? The FBI and the Department of Justice. This was the same FBI that said we had no documents responsive to your request, but there they were. Now we've had time over the weekend, and we're still going through the documents. We've gone over the documents. Guess what we find in the documents? An email from this is from Melanie Newman, Director of Office of Public Affairs. We're holding on to the statement for now. That's the press statement regarding this meeting that took place. Given that there wasn't any follow-up in the press avail, then it's redacted. We will keep you posted as things develop. Thank you, Melanie Newman, Director, Office of Public Affairs, United States Department of Justice. The response comes to that email. That email was sent out, by the way, at 1:21. At 4:28 p.m. on the same day, there's a response from an individual named Elizabeth Carlisle. Elizabeth Carlisle writes, "Thanks to all who worked on this period, AG. AG's Attorney General. This was the alias that the Attorney General utilized on internal communications with the Department of Justice, and not just on this issue, I suspect, but on others as well. Jordan?
That's right. And I think that, you know, I know the Daily Caller this morning has picked up on this. When I tweeted, I've got 103 retweets already. Not because it wasn't known. It was known that this attorney general, like Eric Holder, used an alias. But it was not known what her alias was until our FOIA exposed it. Now, what does this mean? Others doing work on investigating this administration will now be able to target their FOIA's dad. So other groups, interests that may have other issues that they're looking at will now know, including the media. You know, the media files lots of FOIA, so this was big for them. They will know to specifically ask to search for emails and documents, including this Elizabeth Carlisle email address. So that is big news on its own. And then second, you have a lot of folks in the media who still are picking up on the way the mainstream media was treating this story in trying to play it down to the American people.
All right, we're going to be taking you, we're going to give you a timeline when we come back in the next segment, line by line, of how this took place. And we'll take your calls as well.
That's right. Give us a call. Lines just opened up. 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Have your voice heard today on the show. You can also find us broadcasting live on social media and at ACLJ.org. That's Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. You can find us there broadcasting and talk to us that way. Exclusive video sometimes in the break. If not, the show doesn't ever come to an end. We keep going throughout the breaks.
All right, we will take your calls on this, your reaction to what we're finding, and soon the timeline to go over. Fascinating. 1-800-684-3110. Elizabeth Carlisle.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging in a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are jammed up, Logan. Comments are already coming in. Let's take a look at, get some comments. I want to make a statement here while you pull a couple of comments, and we'll get your phone lines up, too. So we are now breaking down a full timeline of what happened here. It happened over a very few days. A lot of activity, but only really over from June 28th until July 1st. So basically, you're talking about 3 or 4 days that this was transpiring. The issue, which I think is so significant here, not only that do we have this alias, but we also have what with the media frenzy internally. So you had some external media. Of course, we talked about the fact that the New York Times and the Washington Post and all these groups were trying to downplay this. But now you've got the situation, and I think this is the big news here, is that internally inside the Justice Department, this was creating a lot of havoc.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the traffic is unreal.
Because you've got the... ultimately, you have the deputy attorney general get involved, his assistants get involved, the FBI get involved as well. So you've got the FBI press officials, which, by the
way,
it's interesting.
James Comey's chief assistant, chief of staff.
James Comey's chief of staff is mentioned as, I'm going to call him right now. This also, there are some redacted email addresses in the conversations with the FBI. You have to wonder how high up did this go at the FBI and why did they redact who received it?
That's,
I mean, that's another redaction we've got to look at. Why did they redact FBI email accounts when these were supposedly just the public affairs people? I mean, you could speculate. Was it James Comey, chief of staff, that was actually on the email? Was it someone like James Comey who could have potentially? I mean, if the attorney general was getting these emails, you would imagine that potentially Jim Comey himself was getting the emails because he was facing a lot of media attention at the time because he was doing the Hillary Clinton investigation. Let's all recall that this leads up to, within 1 week of all of this, the Hillary investigation for the first time is closed.
Yeah, within days of this.
Yeah, well, within days of it, she did her testimony after that tarmac meeting to the FBI. And then a day after that or 2 days after that, after the July 4th holiday,
right,
that's the first time he announced that the investigation was closed.
What are we hearing online?
Yeah, a lot of people are interested in this topic. Steve said, so now you guys will get a FOIA request for everything from Carlisle, right?
Well, this is the question. So we're going to go back a couple things that we have to do.
Yeah.
We have to go back, and we're obviously going to include that on our what's called scope of the email. They should have included that anyways, and they did it some. Obviously, we got some because we got the Elizabeth Carr. I'm holding my hand for our radio audience. You can hear it. For our TV audience, you can see it. We can put it up on the screen. This is the email from Elizabeth Carlisle, who was Attorney General Lynch. So there it is, and you see it. And she does sign it, A.G. Lynch.
So it's interesting. It says AG, and then but she uses this. I'm sure they use this for some kind of internal security method.
Yeah, it's not illegal.
No, it's not illegal.
But it does help shed light on
what was going on here. Yeah. So let me walk everybody through a timeline, and then we'll get your call. So on June, first of all, the meeting takes place. It's uncovered by a local ABC Phoenix TV station affiliate, right? I mean, that was the way it was uncovered.
It's like people saw it happening who worked at the airport, like at the private FBO.
So in our timeline, actually, to amend the timeline, we need to include when the event took place,
who 27th.
Saw it, and it was on the 27th. The very next day, ABC emails Melanie Newman in the Department of Justice Office of Public Affairs with the subject line, Bill Clinton meeting question mark, asking about the meeting. That was at 1:14. Let me tell you how quick the response is. At 1:15, 1 minute later, Newman, the Office of Public Affairs, forwards the ABC email to a Carolyn Porcorny in the Office of the Attorney General and Kevin Lewis at OPA, who appear to both have been with the Attorney General according to the timeline, saying, quote, we need to talk. Now, in that same minute, Porcorny emails Melanie Newman and says, Matt, I'm free. I will get a conference line at this. And it looks like that the Office of Deputy Attorney General Matthew Axelrod was added to this. The Principal Deputy Associate Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates is added to the conversation as well. So this has all happened within 2 minutes of this being broken. 2 minutes later at 1:17, Newman, this is again from the Office of Public Affairs, emails Mike Levine at ABC, what's your number? So this is moving very, very quickly. So right now what we have, and then 1 minute later, Kevin Lewis emails and says, SF and UMA. This denotes that at this time, Sharalitha Franklin at the Office of OAG, Office of Associate Attorney, Assistant Attorney General, and UMA were added to the conversation. So they've now added two additional individuals. 6 minutes later, 7 minutes later, Mike Levine of ABC News emails Melanie Newman, are you in your office? And I can come by in like 15 minutes or so. So let me stop right there. So you've had right now, in a period of about 10 minutes, a flurry of email activities and communication with ABC News.
Yeah, that's right. And so in those communications, when this just all starts building up to the higher and higher levels. So it's, well, ultimately we start informing the FBI officials. Ultimately we start involving the Deputy Attorney General. Ultimately the Attorney General herself is involved. This all led to, remember, a press avail where she answered the question and talked about, oh, it's just about grandparents and golf.
Right.
But, you know, Bill Clinton took the time when he noted that she would be there. He said he waited 30 additional minutes for her to land. I do probably take that he took her by surprise.
Yes.
Because this was a power move by a former president.
Yep.
But she did not do what was appropriate at the time with his wife under investigation and say, this is not appropriate for us to do. We can set up an official meeting if you need to, but I can't do this so willy-nilly.
So we've just talked 9 minutes so far. 9 minutes. Now, 5 minutes later, so now we're at the 15-minute point on the same day, June 28th. Newman from the Office of Public Affairs emails again Mike Levine of ABC News. I'm not in yet, but heading back, I'll call you. Now, 15 minutes later from that, on June 28th, same date, Newman from the Office of Public Affairs emails a draft statement on the meeting to Peter Kadzik. He's the Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Legislative Affairs at DOJ, and Matthew Axelrod, the Principal Associate Deputy Attorney General, number two to Deputy Attorney General Yates, among other DOJ officials. Now, here's the thing, Jordan. You've worked in these offices at DOJ.
This is getting very high up.
Okay, let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, so you're getting to the principals now at the Department of Justice. These are not even like the heads of Office of just Public Affairs or Public Liaison or Legal Counsel. These are the deputy AGs that help to oversee the entire running of the Department of Justice. So here you have both the principal associate deputy and an assistant attorney general who's the head of, interesting enough, legislative affairs.
Yeah, because so they why legislative affairs?
Political fallout.
Okay.
That's their job, is to handle House and Senate, and they realize this will affect them politically.
All right, so we have just covered for you right now only the first 30 minutes of the interchange on June 28th, 2016, and it has already reached the number two to the Department Deputy Attorney General of the United States.
Yeah, let's go to line four. Let's go to Scott in Orlando, Florida. You're on the air, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Jay. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, sir, I just want to thank you for everything that you and your family and your crew has done. You guys have literally poked holes through this cesspool to show that the DOJ under Obama, the FBI under Obama, and the media has all been a part of the DNC. Thank you. I'm a Trump supporter, and I like everything that you guys have done.
Well, let me just say one thing here. First of all, our team has done an incredible job. Yeah. The lawyers, our legal team that litigated this, that worked with me on this, and Ben Sisney. I could go through a whole list of lawyers: Matt Clark, Abby Sutherland, and Carly Gamble. We had a whole team of lawyers. But now it's going through the data. There's 429 of these. So when this came out Thursday night and Friday, we're just starting to go through it. I've only given you, by the way, the first 30 minutes of this conversation, yeah. And we're already at the deputy to the number two at the Department of Justice. We're talking about within 30 minutes of this news breaking back,
yeah.
That's already there. We're going to keep going through the list in a moment, but this tells you how high and how quick this was moving.
It's crisis mode, but as the caller said, this further highlights the weaponization of the Department of Justice, as how politicized it became under, I think, first it was Attorney General Holder, and then Attorney General Lynch just carried the flame. Remember, during all of this, with all of her involvement, with the meeting with Bill Clinton, her relationship with the Clintons, he basically started her out on her federal career by appointing her a U.S. attorney, which led to her ultimately becoming a Attorney General of the United States under President Obama, is worth forgetting, she never recused herself in the investigation of Hillary Clinton. This goes back to also Jim Comey's testimony. Jim Comey has pointed to this meeting a number of times, which is why I can't imagine there's no more documentation from the FBI on this, because Jim Comey said this was the reason why he made that weird decision to close an investigation on his own without it referring it to DOJ.
Yeah, and well, first of all, it's already been at the highest levels of DOJ. Yeah. But here's the interesting question, Logan. This has all happened in 30 minutes.
Yep.
So from a media standpoint, they know they got a mess on their hands.
Oh, absolutely. You're seeing already them trying to cover their tracks. You know that there is complete chaos happening right now. And smile a little bit about it. Nice to have some chaos on the other side for once.
30 minutes. This is just the first 30 minutes, folks. We got two more days to go. And we're breaking this down for you line by line. So this is why when you support the American Center for Law and Justice, we get action. This is called a victory in federal court. We're not done. We're going back for more. We want you to support the ACLJ. You can do that at ACLJ.org. We're getting a match to donate. We get a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. And we will take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to continue to break this down for you line by line. We've only covered the first 30 minutes of the email exchanges here. It's already at the Deputy Attorney General level in 30 minutes when this news broke. And we got this information through federal court litigation. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging in a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
A good point is how long we've been working on this. So we sent our initial request in right after the meeting took place between Loretta Lynch and Hillary Clinton. Then what we did, and this was what you do, is we got a response from the FBI that looked like they were going to be cooperating. Then we ultimately get a letter from them saying no documents responsive. We had the same thing out to the Department of Justice. They did not respond. We filed in federal court. And that was in November. We just got the response to the federal court action on Thursday, and that includes this. So I've taken you through the first 30 minutes, and it's now reached the level of the Deputy Attorney General, of the Associated Deputy Attorney General of the United States, among other DOJ officials. Now, 4 minutes later, Sharitha Franklin, the Deputy Chief of Staff and Counselor to the Attorney General, responded to the email train about the draft statement. We'll show this to the AG now. Can you also prepare a couple of talking points for the press avail? This is very, very significant. Now, this is at 1:51. This started at 1:14. So basically, at that point in 37 minutes, it has gone from the Office of Public Affairs to the Attorney General of the United States. That is really significant. And this was at 1:51. That's how quick this is moving, Jordan. It reached the Attorney General.
Yeah, it reached the Attorney General within 37 minutes that not only was this an issue, but now preparing talking points on how to address it, which is what that was completely redacted from this, are all of the talking points that were sent to the FBI, the talking points that were sent to the Attorney General. We could go back. Maybe we should pull, guys, that press avail so we can play for people what Lynch ultimately said at that press conference. We do have that? Yeah, let's play it for everybody. Okay. This is what Attorney General Lynch ultimately said.
Well, I did see the president at the Phoenix airport the other night. As I was landing, he was headed out. He did come over and say hello and speak to my husband and myself and talk about his grandchildren and his travels and things like that. So that was the extent of that. And no discussions were held on any cases or anything of that. And he didn't raise anything about that either.
Okay, really? So at 1:54 on the same day, Carolyn Porkin, Office of Assistant Attorney General, sends suggested edits in a clean version to show the Attorney General. So now we know the redacted. This was redacted. We're going to go back on court on that. And that's one of the things we're going back on court on is this redacted information. Okay, now we'll go to 2:10 on the same day. Sends final email in, quote, Bill Clinton email chain saying, okay, here. So obviously they're approving what you just heard as the talking point. Now, at 2:35, so we're about an hour and 10 minutes into this, Newman from the Office of Public Affairs sends the first draft of talking points under the subject line talking points for AG's media avail. There's another response at 2:40 and 3:49, multiple emails editing the talking points under the chain draft statement and talking points, and that, by the way, is not in the – we don't get the actual talking points. We're going back to court for that. Again at 3:35, so about now an hour later, there's an email that says draft statement talking points. At 4:09, the draft taking points picks up again after the Attorney General's press avail. Franklin asks, is the plan now to issue the statement? So this is the press statement. Now at 4:10, Matthew Axelrod, Deputy Office of Attorney General, responds completely redacted. Then again, another one. We didn't get any follow-up. Redacted. Our justice reporter didn't follow up either. On June 28th at 4:16, these are within minutes, responds, redacted. I'm holding for now. June 28th at 4:20, responding, asking, says, can you email the AG to let her know the plan? And then at 4:21 on an email chain, talking point statement, Newman, this is the Office of Public Affairs, emails Attorney General Lynch through the staff. We are holding on the statement for now, given that there wasn't any follow-up in the press avail. We will keep you posted as things develop. Thank you. Then at 4:28, just 8 minutes later, talking point statement, Attorney General Lynch response through staff. Thanks to all who worked on this. Jordan, what does that mean at that point?
Well, at that point, I mean, they felt like they had gotten the talking point out that they needed. Now, ultimately, Loretta Lynch, much later, I mean, after the election, said she should never have done this meeting, that she regrets not being able to see the impact this meeting could have. But for their purposes at the time, she felt like by getting out the message that it was just kind of by chance, and it was just about family, and her husband was there, no big deal, that they had at least gotten the message out appropriately for to cover, by the way, Attorney General Lynch. At this point in time, do not forget that this became a major damaging campaign issue for Hillary Clinton. They were not able to handle the fallout quite as well.
So here's what's interesting. Now, at 4:14, so this is just minutes later, on the email chain, this is from the Deputy Attorney General's office. Anything for the DAG, Deputy Attorney General, anything pop up in the press avail that I should know about? And then just 4 minutes later, the Office of Public Affairs responds to the DOJ press statement, says, meeting with President Clinton, we have a statement. So now the statement's done. 4:25, again, Office of Deputy Attorney General has the final statement, and I'm sure that has been a briefing by the Deputy Attorney General Yates at this point. So this is very, very high up. Then, draft statement and talking points. I'm going to flag this for FBI Public Affairs. Do we have that email?
Yeah, I think it's the next email.
Do we have that up for people to see it on Facebook and Periscope? I want to load all of these for tomorrow. We'll go because we're going to keep going through this, obviously, folks. But it says, I'm going to flag this for the FBI's Office of Public Affairs. At that point, now we're about 2 hours in. The FBI is involved. Let me take you through the FBI inquiry here, then we'll grab some calls. Then, at 4:34, again, email chain, flag, Richard Quinn, FBI, Michael Corton, FBI, stating, quote, I want to flag a story that is gaining some traction tonight about a casual, unscheduled meeting between former President Bill Clinton and the Attorney General. Our talkers in this are below. That's the talking points. Please let me know if you get any questions. At 4:55, so basically 20 minutes later, not even, FBI Director, Media Investigation Response, copy. Thanks, Melanie. At 11:37 p.m., we are into the evening now, folks. Subject line, who did you email for comment on this story and why not reach out to me? Matt Zapowski of the Washington Post emails Newman and replies to her request a few minutes earlier to make some edits. I updated the last paragraph to take that out, reflecting that you willingly provided transcripts and added a bit of career prosecutors. So who is drafting this document, Logan, at this point? Is it the Washington Post or is it the Department of Justice?
As always, it's all tied together. It's one thing. It's creating the narrative. We've said that before, and they were doing that then. They're doing it now. It's a conscious effort to make sure you're getting the news you were supposed to get, not the news you actually need.
All right, I'm going to stop it right there at 11:38 p.m. because we're about to go into we're on the 29th. We're about to go into the 30th. Really appreciate it. Thanks. Let's take a call. Then we'll go through what happens the next day.
All right. Moving on. Let's go. Let's go.
Can we do a call this quickly, Logan? Yeah, minute 33. Tell you what. Hold on to the call.
We can grab a quick one. Yeah.
Go. Quick.
Yeah, let's go to Sean real quick in New Hampshire. Real quick, Quammen.
All right, Sean.
Hi, Jay. Hey. Hi, Jordan. Good. So I have a couple questions. One is, why in the world are redacted emails coming out of the Sessions Justice Department?
Because they're career bureaucrat lawyers at the Department of Justice that handle this.
Yeah,
so we are instructing our lawyers today, Monday, to go back in, file motions to get those documents.
Yeah, the FOIA divisions within all these agencies are handled by bureaucrats. Always will be, always have been.
Yep.
And they are actually responding to requests from others before it goes out to make redactions. So you have like someone from the FBI is redacted on this email list. Who is it? I mean, you can speculate
that
could be Jim Comey himself redacted. I mean, who knows?
We're going to find out.
But they are bureaucrats. It's not the Trump Department of Justice. It's political appointees.
All right. We're here for another 30 minutes. If you're not getting, I've only gone through the 28th and 29th. We're about to go to June 30th. The fun keeps coming. This is when the media gets involved. Logan, let's go ahead and let people know how they can get the next 30 minutes of the broadcast.
That's right. If you don't get all of Jay Sekulow Live, if you only get the first half hour, or if you want to change it up, you can find us broadcasting live for the remainder of the show, another half hour, online at ACLJ.org. You can interact on Facebook and Periscope, Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow. Also on Twitter, at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow. Get an archive of the Jay Sekulow podcast or the ACLJ app. We'll be right back.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we've taken you through, this is on the emailed, we now know that we have Elizabeth Carlisle is the code name for Attorney General, that was her alias for Attorney General Lynch on the Clinton meeting with the Loretta Lynch on the tarmac in Phoenix, Arizona. We've taken you through day one. You showed that with really within about an hour, it already went from the Office of Public Affairs to the Deputy Attorney General of the United States. An hour later, it reached the Attorney General of the United States, this whole scandal, and how they were going to cover it. Then a whole lot of discussions about talking points and the development of talking points. Those reach the Attorney General of the United States. They knew Logan at that point. They had on their hands a perceived policy, not just policy, public relations nightmare.
Absolutely, and I think they're still trying to recover from that. But yeah, it's kind of fun to watch it unfold as we read through it.
You know what would be a fascinating special to do for TV? Would be, we'd have to really produce this, would go line by line like we're doing on radio, but really lay it out for a TV special, and then where this ends up becoming an issue in the campaign, how that kind of all played out.
And then Jim Comey ultimately testified.
And then he ends up leaving and with his testimony. We'll talk about that after. We don't have to talk about that right now. We'll talk about, let's take a call, then I'm going to go back to the 30th.
All right, let's do it. Let's go. Oh, we've got a couple people on hold for a long time, so let's take their calls.
All right.
Let's go to Donald, who's calling on line 3 in Houston, Texas.
Hi, Donald.
Hey, guys. How are we today?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call. A longtime supporter. Appreciate
great.
You taking
Thanks.
The call. Guys are doing great work. Here's my question for you, sir, is that, you know, we are a general populace. We follow the rule of law. We believe in justice. We think that things, you know, we check out that the legal system would play out to bring these people to justice. But we're so inured, we're so accustomed to these people wiggling out or something happening at a higher level that we don't see any traction on these type of cases.
Well, here you do, Donald. Here you're seeing traction because we actually got the documents. We're able to lay out a timeline of what was. We're taking you inside the Department of Justice when they're in panic mode over this. This may have cost Hillary Clinton the election. I mean, this is one of those issues that could have. We know it played very significantly. And putting the politics aside, we're taking you inside to show you what took place here. And it's pretty breathtaking within hours of what was spinning. Yeah. We haven't even gone to the media day yet when the news media started picking up. This is just internally what's been going on here.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, remember, you had this being done right before Hillary Clinton was going to provide testimony to the FBI, not under oath. And then 2 days after that, so within this week, 2 days after that, Jim Comey, for that first time, closed the investigation. That appeared to be a huge win for the Clinton campaign. So this strategy ultimately looked like it may have been worth taking this hit to get the Comey investigation cleared out. But what later happened was that Jim Comey, you know, getting more information, then he reopened it. So it ultimately, this became a huge negative that dogged the Clinton campaign up until Election Day. And you could point to this as maybe one of those turning points as well, when the left started realizing that this campaign, by utilizing Bill Clinton, it may be time to, I think they were saying, retire him from the campaign trail. It may have been good at it once before, but was making gaffe and just bad decisions after bad decision. And this appears to be one of those. I mean, where he initiated this, it appears. The Attorney General did not respond in the appropriate way, but it's a power play by a former president. And because of it, the whole investigation was put with a huge, you know, question mark. She never recused herself either.
No, she never recused herself from this issue, period. Never actually recused. Said she will take the advice of her leadership. Meanwhile, her leadership was fully involved in this. We've already put this at the Deputy Attorney General level. So if you're just joining us again, we filed a major federal lawsuit. We started getting responses. We're going back to court on this, though, because we don't have all the responses yet. This is, I'm only taking you, so far, we've only gone the 28th and 29th. We're about to come back from the break, and we're going to hit the 30th. And what happened on Media Day? You'll be fascinated by that one. New York Times, Washington Post. Little discussions going back and forth worth pointing out. All right, Logan, we're here. We'll take calls and comments.
That's right. You can give us a call. One line's available right now, 1-800-684-3110. You can always get your comments in. Exclusive videos coming up in the break if you're watching online. If you're not, you're going to hear some commercials. We'll be back. But if not, if you're watching online, you get some great, unique content just for you guys that watch on social media or at ACLJ.org. Again, one line's open, 1-800-684-3110. Right back with more on JSEC Here Live.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging in a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. So we showed you that within 2 days, this issue of the Clinton-Lynch discussion meeting at the tarmac reached the Attorney General's office within hours. It also reached the Federal Bureau of Investigation, which was a bit of a surprise here. And because the FBI had told us previously in correspondence that they had no information responsive to this inquiry. Well, that ended up not being the case. So now you ask yourself, what has happened here? And what has happened here, they're in full public relations panic mode, and we haven't even gotten to, which I'm about to do, what happened on the 30th.
Yeah, but there are some comments coming in, questions going, great, we have all this information, so what? What do you do now with it?
Well, it's a big, what you do is you got the information. We have been able to disclose what was going on. Now, we don't have the redacted document as to what they actually said, and her statement was very innocuous. So there was an awful lot of activity going on, right, for a statement that said basically we talked about grandchildren and we talked about golf. So why did you have all this discussion going on internally at the Department of Justice if that's all you talked about? Now I'm going to go through and tell you what the media did. So what this has done is showed what was going on within the Department of Justice and how high this had reached. But now you're going to get into, people want to know, what does it mean next? Here's the media. Subject line, more on the Clinton meeting. This is on June 30th, so it's 2 days after this is broken, 11:33 a.m. Matt Zapowski of the Washington Post emails Newman from the Office of Public Affairs and Lewis from the Office of Public Affairs and states, quote, "My editors are pretty interested in it, and I'm hoping I can put it to rest by answering just a few more questions about how the meeting came about, who approached who, and how did they realize they were in the same place. The editors were interested. He wants to, quote, Jordan, put it to rest."
Yeah, and that's because, remember, just to remind people, the night before at 11:37 p.m., this was on June 29th, he actually updated the paragraph in his story to take that out. We don't know what that out was, reflecting that you willing providing transcripts and added a bit about career prosecutors. So the Washington Post was editing their story already the night before to reflect.
Per the Department of Justice.
Per Department of Justice instructions.
The next, so that was 11:35. At 2:10 in the afternoon, another email chain. This time, New York Times question on Lynch-Clinton meeting. Mark Lander of the New York Times emailed Newman, again, Office of Public Affairs for the Department of Justice, and stated, "I'm a White House correspondent at the New York Times, and I've been, quote, pressed into service to write about the questions being raised by Attorney General's meeting with Bill Clinton." Pressed into service.
Yeah.
Not happy about being pressed into service, but being pressed into service nonetheless.
No, because remember, all these are liberal journalists that all want Hillary Clinton to win the presidential election. They all see the bigger picture here is not so much lynched. I mean, they'll do whatever to play this down. The bigger picture, and you're not going to see that in the discussion because these are staff concerned about their own boss, the Attorney General. The bigger picture for these journalists is the upcoming presidential election and the fact that they want Donald Trump to lose and they want Hillary Clinton to win, and this reflects poorly on Hillary Clinton and her campaign.
All right, let me take you through the next scenario of events that took place over 2 days. Later that day on June 30th, the unit chief for the National Press Office, so now you're at the highest level, at the Office of Public Affairs, emails Peter Carr of the DOJ Office of Public Affairs, forwarding another request for information from the Washington Post regarding the meeting under the subject line, quote, security details coordinated between Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton. On July 1st, 2016, now, next day, 11:20 a.m., more questions. Porcorny, the Office of Associate Attorney General, states FBI is asking for guidance on this question as well on media questions regarding reports that FBI ordered no pictures, no photographs. Logan, at that point, when you got the FBI, now the FBI has been, by the way, brought into this. They ordered the no photographs. They now know they are in a mess.
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. We got a lot of calls on it. If we want to go ahead and take some calls, or we want to keep going.
But I need to finish up the time. Go ahead and take a call, and then I'll finish up the timeline.
All right, yeah, I just want to clear some out before we get to the next segment. Let's go to Carol, who's calling on line one, or line two, excuse me, in Oakland, California.
Hey, Carol.
Hi. What is in store for our country if the FBI is corrupt, and are they allowed to redact information when you requested it?
Well, we think the information they redacted is not subject to the rules on redaction. In other words, this is not national security matters. It's not that kind of process. It should not be, they should not have redacted it. So what we're doing is I've instructed our legal team, same case, back to court today. We're filing motions today and tomorrow demanding access to the redacted material, because now we know, as I just said, on July 1st, so this has all happened within 3 days, that the FBI is asking for guidance as well. So the FBI trying to stay out of this, when they said they had no information, Jordan, that was a completely false statement.
Well, and I want to remind people, FBI agents protect the Attorney General.
Yep.
So when they write in this that the FBI is asking for guidance on this question, that the FBI ordered no pictures, it would have been those FBI agents who find her. They provide the Attorney General's security detail. So the FBI was involved in this meeting while they are investigating the wife of the former president and the Attorney General. And they of course, came to the conclusion. I don't think they wanted this out there either, that let's not photograph this, guys. Let's not photograph this, Bill and Loretta, because if we photograph this, then everyone will know. They didn't realize at the time the media, local media, had already realized this was going on.
All right, so let me take it a step.
They're trying to hide this.
Yeah,
trying to hide that this meeting ever occurred.
Now let me take you through. This is on July 1st, and these three are very, very important. So now we know it's at the FBI, folks. Let me take it three more levels. At 1:23 on July 1st, the counselor to the Attorney General responds completely redacted. We don't know what that response is. We're going in for that. On July 1st, now at 1:24, 1 minute later, there's a response to that email. Says, thanks for the quick response. I will let Rubicki know. Jim Rubicki was the chief of staff and senior counselor to, guess who? FBI Director Jim Comey. So he was aware of this on July 1st on an email chain. Last email we have, FBI just called. OPA, Office of Public Affairs, officials discussed redacted, and it's redacted, and FBI received a call and is looking for guidance to know if we will provide any comment on this, on media questions regarding reports that the FBI ordered no pictures. That is the last response we have in our document chain. What we have showed in the last hour or 45 minutes of this program is the cover-up of cover-ups that we've been able to uncover. Now, there's still information redacted, so we're back in court on this. But folks, those of you that support the ACLJ, this is what it's all about at the end of the day. And this was a guy, I want to thank our entire team here. What a great job, and our media team as well. But I'm gonna turn this, believe me, we're going to lay this out, because you've got to understand the political follow-up of what took place here. Look, let's try to grab a couple more calls. I'm going to try to get the calls. We took you through it. We're going to be covering a lot this week. Obviously, this is big, big news all over the country right now.
Let's go to Doug in Texas. Pretty simple question to answer. Doug, you're on here.
Yeah, Doug, good morning, gentlemen. I appreciate all you guys do.
Thanks.
I just had a quick question. Why is it not illegal for these government officials to have alias accounts? I mean, you don't have an alias.
Using alias allegedly for security reasons, but yet she signed it. She signed it, A.G. Lynch. So, yeah, I mean, it's not much security.
No, it's not. I mean, it's supposed to be so that people can't start the – it's much tougher to guess their emails, to inundate their email inboxes. And then, again, if they're hacked, that it's tougher for people to identify what email addresses are the actual Attorney General of the United States because they would be receiving so much classified information. So it's not illegal, but no one disclosed what her actual email alias was until our FOIA exposed it. So though she had acknowledged through her attorney in the past that she had an email alias like Eric Holder, Eric Holder's who people knew, it was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's name before he converted to Islam. In this case, people knew she had one but didn't know what it was. This ended up being, I believe it's her grandmother's name. So she was hiding that. I think it all goes to hiding. The FBI saying, I mean, I'm just kind of noticing that for the first time because there's so much here, Dad. The FBI saying no photos. They don't realize at the time, those agents, that the media has seen, local media has already got a handle that this meeting may be happening. And they were trying to say no photos, which means, you know what, if they would have gotten their way, no one would have ever known that the former president, whose wife was under investigation and giving testimony that weekend, met with the Attorney General of the United States on private aircraft in a secret meeting. And what they wanted to be was a secret meeting that no one ever knew about, and the FBI agents were willing to be part of that.
It's unreal.
They were willing to say, I mean, if they were really doing their job, they'd say, take the photo. Because people need to see that you did this while we're doing an investigation, not hide it. But they knew that hiding it would be better for people like Jim Comey. He only had to address it after it was public.
This is what we have uncovered here is...
We can play Comey.
Yeah, let's go play it.
This was just back a month and a half ago, June, when he was testifying before Senate Byte 23.
Was your decision influenced by the Attorney General's tarmac meeting with the former President Bill Clinton?
Yes, in a conclusive way. That was the thing that capped it for me, that I had to do something separately to protect the credibility of the investigation, which meant both the FBI and the Justice Department.
But his FBI agents were the ones who were trying to make sure that no one ever found out about this.
Yeah, so you talk about the cover of covers and double dealing here. I mean, this is unreal, folks. We are just beginning the discussions of this. We're going to be coming back from the break. Logan will take calls from everybody. We've got a lot of people that are holding. We'll grab the calls.
Yeah, we do. Two lines open also. 1-800-684-3110. If you want your voice heard today, this is the time to do it. Give us a call before they're gone. 1-800-684-3110. 1-0 to have your voice heard on the air today.
It's a big case, folks, with big ramifications. We're breaking it down for you here on the broadcast. We'll have more when we come back from the break.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging in a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Broadcast, everyone, taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Big win in federal court. We're still doing the analysis of it, still putting the timelines together, and we'll continue to, hopefully by tomorrow, we'll have an even more complete one, including when the media, when the DOJ said, oh, only Fox News is covering, or maybe a line or two from CBS,
yeah.
So we don't have to worry about this, and then, of course, it kept getting bigger and bigger. We've got to hit calls, though, Logan, because we've got people holding for a long time.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go just in order. Let's go to Gary first in Charlotte, North Carolina, on line four. You're on the air.
Hey, Gary.
Gary, go ahead.
Hey, hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering, come last year, there was a summons filed in a civilian court against Attorney General Lynch, and I noticed that the court gave her 100 days by 60 days, and I found that very suspicious.
So here's what happened. I mean, when this thing broke, what happened was the timeline I gave you was over basically 72 hours. Mm. This moved very, very quickly internally. Externally, they were trying everything they could do to clamp it down. We didn't include in there the ABC.
Some of it's in there, not the Fox part, but the if you go to June 29th, June 29th, 2016.
10:31 a.m. between the Office of Public Affairs and the Office of Deputy Attorney General. I also talked to an ABC producer who noted they aren't interested. Yeah. Even if Fox runs was with it, given this, we are still holding the prepared statement.
And then later on June, same day at 8:11 on the email chain, that here's the TV clip, AG community policing trip to L.A. Here's CBS. He just says a few lines about the meeting. So basically that a meeting happened between the Attorney General Lynch. That was the mainstream coverage. Now, ultimately, more media got on this.
Yes.
Because of the effect of the campaign.
Yeah.
So this became a question Hillary Clinton had to answer.
I'd like to get for tomorrow's broadcast where this came up from other media sources.
President Trump bringing it up, Hillary Clinton having to address it as well.
Press conferences where they had to do it. Yeah, Bill Clinton. I think that's very, very important. We'll have that for tomorrow's broadcast. All right, Logan, people have been holding for a long time, try to get as many calls as we can here.
All right, let's go to Alan in New Jersey on line five. You're on the air.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Good, sir.
Jay, you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Love what you do. Love what Judicial Watch does also.
Yep, they did a great job, too.
Oh, they do a great job. Jay, when is all, you know, with all the digging that you guys have done,
yep,
and all the facts that have been brought out about Lynch,
yep,
the meeting on the tarmac,
yep,
everything to do with Hillary Clinton's emails,
yep,
is there any possibility that this can push all this Russia nonsense out of the headlines of the Washington Post, the New York Times,
no,
CNN, MSNBC?
No. Alan, I understand what you're saying. Look, this was, you know who covered this extensively, and we appreciate it, besides the networks that carry this broadcast, and we appreciate every one of these radio stations we're on. And of course, we're able to broadcast on Facebook and Roku and all the other sources. You know who covered this? Fox News.
And Fox Business.
Yep. They did a great job of covering it. Now, we're going to look to see if the other networks picked this up at all. Daily Caller picked it up, some of the Washington Examiner, so some of the Washington Inside the Beltway stuff. But
they're all conservative.
Yes.
And Free Beak and others.
Because this is not a story they want out.
No, because Washington Post and New York Times are implicated in it as looking like they were part of playing the story.
Collusion.
Yes, collusion.
I couldn't resist. All right, let's take another call, Logan.
All right, continuing on again in order, let's go to Linda in Falls Church, Virginia.
Hi, Linda, go ahead.
Hi, I have 3 points and one question.
Yep.
Okay, number one, we've got people who are holdovers from the Obama administration, yep, embedded in the FBI, including Mueller's a big Democratic donor and all this kind of stuff.
Actually, Bob Mueller is, I don't think, that's not true. Bob Mueller's not a big Democratic donor.
Democrat donors
he's
on
got,
his
yes,
team.
But he's not a
he's
Democratic
a
donor, and I'm not getting into a discussion about that. That's not, go ahead with your point you wanted to make. Oh, you're gone. Okay.
Never mind.
All right, because you didn't like
Lewis.
My answer. My answer was the truth.
Luis in Florida.
Yeah, special counsel is not a Democratic donor. That's not correct.
The only donation he ever given was to a Republican candidate in Massachusetts for governor.
Line six, Luis in Florida. You're on the air.
Hi, Luis.
Hello. Thank you for your
for
your work. We see you in Hannity at Fox.
I'll be there tonight. That's the plan,
Number one, what can the president, our president, order the Attorney General to investigate Loretta Lynch and all the illegalities that the Clinton has done, and if he can, why doesn't he?
First of all, the order, this is not a situation where the president would have to order anything, because there may well be an investigation going on right now, and we wouldn't know it. I mean, the idea in this, despite what happened last week when they said, well, the grand jury issued subpoenas in the Russia probe, which you're not supposed to know was going on, these are not supposed to be done in public. So it could be that this is being investigated now for all we know.
Well, like the unmasking.
Yeah.
Because it's
a lot more than just this. Right.
So you've got a lot of this, I think, combined in what is likely is an investigation going on. We know that Congress has called on the Department of Justice
yes.
to open investigations.
And asked for Loretta Lynch to testify.
Yes. So, I mean, I expect that there's at least some kind of beginning investigation. We're only 6.5 months into this administration. This would be massive undertaking. And at a time when they've got to clamp down on the leaks. So we did
there's
learn from the Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein that there is a special FBI division now.
What we were calling a unit just for leaks.
So they're just kind of getting up to speed full working speed.
So, Logan, do you think what was going on here when you look at the timeline? We'll grab these two other calls. But when you were going through the timeline, they were in full tough mode here.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of as expected if something like this breaks. I mean,
yeah.
In politics, it's not like people sit around and dilly-dally. A lot of people are going fast. I mean, you know personally, it's continual emails and calls. But this
really?
Is a bit crazier.
but, you know, this was not supposed to be politics.
Right.
This was a bit more
fun. That's what they were doing. This was the Department of Justice and the FBI
right.
trying to, one, first thing they tried to do with FBI was try to make it like this meeting never happened. So Jim Comey acted like this was such a big deal to him. His team was trying to make it so that no one ever knew about it.
We're going to get into all of that tomorrow on the broadcast. We're going to the Jim Comey comments afterwards, what they said during the command. We're going to, believe me, we're explaining all of this. You just need to know how your government works, folks. All right, let's go and grab another call.
All right, Vicky's calling in Pittsburgh. You're on the airline, too.
Hey, Vicky, go ahead.
Hi, Jay.
Yep.
I like half of the country, am so frustrated. We know about all the corruption, and more keeps coming out, but nothing is ever done. And I would like to know when something is going to be done, or if we can do anything.
Well, this is being done, because now that we've got this information, we're making this available to you, the American people. What that means is you know what's going on inside of your government, and we're still just getting, we're really at phase one of this. We just got these documents, folks, on Thursday, and we're going back into court to get more documents. This is phase one of this litigation, so there's going to be a lot more here. We're going to get that redacted statement, but we're going to build out the narrative this entire week of what happened.
All right, let's go to the last call of the day. Naomi in Colorado, you're
on the air. All right, Naomi, you're the last caller. Go ahead.
Hello. This is my question is, I just thank you guys for your wisdom and revelation to the people and all the seculos and the ACLJ. When this event happened in 2016 and I heard the collusion of the FBI with this, I really lost all faith in the Justice Department of our nation, the FBI and the DOJ. How on earth do we restore our faith in the policing of our nation?
Well, you've got an
nation?
Attorney general like Jeff Sessions now. You've got a brand new FBI director in Chris Wray, and they go back to restoring our trust. It's a very important agency, and there are a lot of agents that most of the people do a great job defending us and protecting our country. And so when you have these things, these are the outliers. But we got to point out those outliers when they take place, and that's what happened here.
Yeah, these are the swamp actors. These are the political hacks within who are only there not to carry out the mission of the FBI. Most FBI agents who are in the line of duty in the field, they're doing a great job. Same with the intelligence agencies.
Yep.
It's the Washington crowd.
Right.
They're the problem. The D.C. offices.
All right, that does it for today.
Yep. You can find us online, social media, ACLJ.org, all social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter. Just search for Jay Sekulow, the ACLJ. You'll find us there. You can also download the ACLJ app in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and also Roku channel in the Channel Store on Roku. And subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you.